Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In the book, This Is My Doctrine, The Development of Mormon Theology, author Charles R. Harrell speaks of theological conservatism and liberalism. And I think this is very important if you're going to understand what Harrell is trying to accomplish in this book. I think he makes it very clear in playing his hand that he is more of the liberal bent within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In fact, the statement that I'm about to read, I think, would really prove that, where he said on page 2, Latter-day Saints, closer to the conservative end of the theological spectrum, tend to view Scripture as the infallible Word of God and therefore doctrinally sound. Mormons toward the liberal end accept the Scriptures as inspired, but may at the same time also perceive them to be human-informed and therefore not to be taken indiscriminately as the absolute truth. Now, based on that statement, Eric, and I would agree with that, I think he's defining the two ends of the spectrum quite accurately, but the question I ask is, what is really more safe for the Latter-day Saint? And I could even apply that to myself as a Christian. What is more safe for me as a Christian to start judging the Scriptures and making decisions as to what I want to believe and what I shouldn't believe? Because we're seeing this in Christianity today. We've seen it in Christianity for years. And of course, a lot of the liberal nonsense that we hear from some liberal Christian scholars are certainly premises that I would not die for, and I don't think a lot of people would die for.
Well, and as the culture has gone, so has the Christian church. So we end up agreeing with the culture, whereas maybe 20 or 30 years ago, we wouldn't have agreed with the culture. We would have gone with what Scripture has said, but now people are dismissing what the Scripture says and going with their feelings. Very dangerous precedent.
What I'm hearing you saying is that you have a lot of professing Christians today making the same mistake that Mormons have made for years. In other words, placing their truth claims on their feelings. If it feels good, they're going to go with it. If they don't like it, they're going to reject it.
Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it?" The Bible talks about people as being sinners, so we cannot rely on our own feelings and our own personal guidance. That's where we need a standard by which to live.
Let me read this one portion before we go down to his section on the myth of scriptural inerrancy, where on page 3, Mr. Harrell says, "Conservative Latter-day Saints therefore tend to take an inerrantist view of Scripture, maintaining that, aside from translation and transcription errors, the doctrinal teachings of Scripture are without error or variation." Now, as a Christian, I would tend to hold to that position. I am willing to trust what the Bible says on these areas and go with it rather than what my personal feelings might tell me, because I have to understand I am a sinful being. I can let my sinfulness invade my thought processes and make decisions accordingly. Is that really the direction I want to go? It goes back to my earlier question. Is it safe to go in this direction? Because what if you're wrong? What if Charles Harrell is wrong on his assumptions? Is he not going to be judged accordingly if those verses regarding judgment are true and perhaps not the way Mr. Harrell would like to view them personally? But then he gets into the myth of scriptural inerrancy.
Modern biblical scholarship generally agrees that the mediation of Scripture through finite and fallible humans necessarily presents a limited and imperfect view of ultimate reality.
Now, wouldn't you say, though, that that is more of a liberal interpretation rather than a conservative one? When he says modern biblical scholarship, who exactly are we referring to other than the one that he does mention by name, and that would be Catholic scholar Hans Küng? But I would say that a lot of biblical scholars would probably not agree with that statement, that what Scripture is telling us is a view of ultimate reality, and we would be safe in following what the Scripture is telling us in that particular area. Now, of course, as Christians, we don't embrace the Book of Mormon as Scripture. We don't embrace the Doctrine and Covenants as Scripture, and I hope people listening to this show would understand that we do have our limitations as to what we understand Scripture to be. But what does inerrancy really mean for us as Christians?
Well, and he gives a syllogism, which is a logical sequence, on page 3. And if we're talking about God's Word being the Bible, then I would agree with what he has to say. He says, God's Word is without error or variation. That's the first premise. God's Word is without error or variation. Second premise, Scripture is the Word of God. His conclusion then is, therefore, Scripture is without error or variation. Now, the word inerrancy gets tossed around and misunderstood, I think, by a lot of Christians. I think we have to go back to Scripture to understand what that really means. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture, and when it says Scripture, it's referring to the Old Testament, of course, but also, I think, the New Testament is included as well. It's breathed out. Pneumatos is the Greek word, and it's breathed out by whom? By God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So when it's talking about Scripture, it's talking about the Bible given by God's prophets. And then in 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we believe as Christians that the Holy Spirit filled the writers to be able to write using their own nuances and their own style to be able to write what he intended. This is his mind for mankind.
In other words, we don't believe that it was what we might call automatic writing. It wasn't like God taking a hold of their hand with the pen in it and then telling them what to write down.
Right.
Okay. But we do believe that what they basically said, we can accept to be true. But Dr. Millard Erickson, who's a Christian theologian, he has a definition for inerrancy. And in it, he said, the Bible, when correctly interpreted in light of the level to which culture and the means of communication had developed at the time it was written, and in view of the purposes for which it was given, is fully truthful in all that it affirms. But then he goes on, Erickson goes on to explain that inerrancy pertains to what is affirmed or asserted rather than what is merely reported. What do you think he means by that?
Well, I think that, and he goes on and he says the Bible reports false statements by an ungodly person. The presence of those statements in Scripture does not mean they are true. It only guarantees that they are correctly reported. And so going back to his definition, that the Bible is fully truthful in all that it affirms, but just because Satan says, ye shall be as gods, doesn't mean that we should take that as being scriptural truth. So we have to weigh what is being said and by whom and in what kinds of circumstances. Things that David said in the Scriptures, I wouldn't say are something I would take as scriptural truth, as I need to accept and believe and follow the way that David did in that particular circumstance. That's part of doing interpretation, hermeneutics. Interpretation that's done properly understands that you have to know what is being meant and who was saying it. The second point he makes, we must judge the truthfulness of Scripture in terms of what the statements meant in the cultural setting in which they were expressed. And he talks about it not always being exactly word for word. And for instance, numbers are used, and sometimes they're used in rounded up or rounded down. And so what the statements meant for the people at that time was more important than how we might take it today based on our cultural understanding. And that is a trick that you have to get out of this culture, and you have to move back 2,000 or 3,000 years to fully understand what is being said.
An example would be, of course, when God gives a promise to Israel. we need to be cautious by applying that same promise to us as New Testament believers. The circumstances are not the same, and we need to put them in the correct context.
The third point he gives, the Bible's assertions are fully true when judged in accordance with the purpose for which they were written. For instance, when a writer uses the word son, that doesn't necessarily mean literal son. It could mean descendants. Or when Luke has glory in the highest in the biblical narrative regarding the birth of Jesus, and then Matthew and Mark have Hosanna in the highest. Well, glory would have made more sense to Luke's Gentile readership. So you're going to see some differences, especially when you're looking at the four Gospels. And so we need to understand what was the purpose of what they were writing. The fourth point, the reports of historical events and scientific matters are in phenomenal rather than technical languages. For instance, the Bible does talk about the sun rising and the sun setting, but we have to understand that was a figure of speech in that day. It didn't mean that the Bible writers were thinking that the sun actually rose and the sun set, no more than weathermen today, when they say today the sun is going to rise at this time and it's going to set at that time. We don't assume that they think there is some kind of a flat earth. Of course they don't. They're just using that kind of language. And then finally, number five, the difficulties in explaining the biblical text should not be prejudged as indication of errors. And so, for instance, you have in Matthew 27:5 that Judas committed suicide by hanging himself. And then in Acts 1:18, it says that Judas fell headlong, burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And we have to understand, if you take a look at the possibility of Judas committed suicide, and then the tree branch broke, and then he did land on the rocks, and both could be true. So you have to take all things into consideration. When he brings out this point that the Bible writers or any scriptural writer can give their own opinion, Bill, is that true? Absolutely true. In fact, we see that when Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, he talks to the married. He says, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. He goes on to verse 12, and he says, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord. And so, very clearly, he's saying, I'm giving you something that is not what God necessarily is saying to you, but I'm just going to give you my own personal preference. I appreciate that. But just because he does it there doesn't mean that everywhere he has written is his personal opinion. There are few times where that will happen, but generally, he's telling us what God's mind is for us today.
And you'll notice that when Paul does cite from the Old Testament, he never says, this is my opinion. He always says, this is the Lord, or it's to be understood as being from the Lord and is something that should be heeded.
And he did teach authoritatively, as you say.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. All of us at Mormonism Research Ministry want to wish you and yours a joyous Christmas season as we remember the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save his people from their sins. If Viewpoint on Mormonism has been a blessing to you, would you consider a generous year-end gift to help further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry? Please know that your tax-deductible gift to MRM is very much appreciated, and we humbly thank you for your kind support.